Good to see so many of you out on such a warm, sticky night. This is our fourth night in our series on big issues. And tonight we're addressing the question, are there many paths to God? And as in past weeks, if a question comes up through lots of our time together, you can SMS on the number on the screen. There'll also be an opportunity for us to put those in on a little piece of paper. Are there many paths to God? Do all religions lead to the same destination? Are all religions essentially the same? Across the world, some at least do hold that all paths do ultimately lead to God. Oprah Winfrey claimed on her show that it's a big mistake to believe that there's just one way to salvation. She said, there are millions of ways to be a human being and many paths to what you call God. There couldn't possibly be just one way. What Oprah is describing is what's called religious pluralism. Here's a definition. A religious pluralism, the idea that all ethical religions, though culturally conditioned, are equally capable of bringing salvation or liberation, which is evidenced by the production of so-called saints in the various religions, Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, or the Dalai Lama. And that's the question that we're looking at tonight. Are there many paths to God? Is Jesus just one God among many? That's the question that's explored in this book, Jesus Among Other Gods, by Ravi Zacharias. And as we explore this tonight, we're going to use some clips out of the video that also goes by this same title. Ravi Zacharias, Indian by birth, here's a little of his own spiritual journey. He says, a Buddhist belief karma keeps one trapped in an endless cycle of death and rebirth called samsara, and the only way out is through enlightenment. To become enlightened, one has to eliminate desire. Buddha taught that desire is the root of suffering, that it causes attachment, which leads to suffering, and in turn causes other beings to suffer. This produces negative karma. If one eliminates desire and stops causing suffering, one can become enlightened, as Buddha had. Ravi says, but eventually I began to question, who or what had set this law of karma in motion? Who judged these beings' actions and sentenced them to some other life, to another life of pain? Why were beings punished for actions they would be unable to remember? Was desire always a bad thing? Wasn't the desire for enlightenment still desire? If so, how could anyone ever attain enlightenment? So he says, I strayed from the Buddhist path, the emptiness within me greater than before. I began to examine the claims of Jesus of Nazareth in a new light. I laid aside the biases and prejudices that had caused me to dismiss him as merely a great human teacher. The more I searched, the more I came to believe that there was a sovereign God who loved me, and that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of Man, fully human and fully God. He says, I accepted Christ into my heart. And he says, in doing so, I now feel that I've found true enlightenment through a personal relationship with my Creator. So let's listen to Ravi as he introduces this topic and talks about exclusivity and relativism.
You see, the challenge of writing this book was very real. We are living in a day where sensitivities are high, where tolerance and pluralism are buzzwords, and there's a lot of important reality we must bear in mind when we are dealing with that kind of a challenge. However, let us be absolutely clear that when we present the nature of truth, as you will soon see, exclusivity is implicit in that claim. We often hear the term relativism. What does relativism really mean? And here you will have to follow very carefully, because I firmly believe that those who espouse that relativism is true live one of the most self-defeating philosophies one can ever hold to. What do I mean by that? Listen carefully now to the statement, all truth is relative. Now repeat that. All truth is relative. Now, if all truth is relative, when as soon as you make that assertion, it either includes itself or excludes itself, right? And if it includes itself, that means that statement is not always true either. That statement itself is relative, which means it is making the possibility of absolutes in some instances. Or if it excludes that statement, it is then implying that that particular statement is an absolute while denying absolutes actually exist. You follow what I'm saying? Now, all this may sound very philosophical, but the idea of relativism basically implies that all truth is individually constructed, individually determined, all values are only individually chosen, subjectively appropriated, and so on. But it is truly a self-defeating philosophy. Objective truth is assumed even when it says that all truth is relative. So that is the first thing we need to bear in mind. So as soon as somebody says to you or to me, wait a minute, how can Jesus claim to be the only way to God? How can there be only one way? They are bringing in implicitly an assumption of relativism, but relativism does not hold together and is not coherent as an idea. And ladies and gentlemen, let us not live under the illusion that only the Christian faith claims to be exclusive. The truth of the matter is all major religions in the world at some point lay a claim to exclusivity. So we have to determine whether that claim can be defended or not. And in this book, of course, Jesus Among Other Gods, we trust we have defended the uniqueness and the claim of Jesus Christ to exclusivity.
All major religions at some point make a claim to exclusivity. Are there many paths to God? We're going to take a moment just to say hi, greet one another. There's some water up the back. As we go through tonight, I know with the fans on, they're noisy. So if the sound isn't coming through, just wave. I know you're being friendly and also motioning that we need to just watch the volume. So let's have a quick break, grab some water, and then we'll come back.